everybody, Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight right here around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. We are glad you're setting up and setting in with us tonight and joining us for our fourth part of Holy Grail. We're going to have a good one tonight in the barn burner. You won't want to miss it. Call a friend and a neighbor, and I'll be right back to present part four.
Everybody in this room knows time is changing.
Well, we're glad to have you in here tonight. We're going to get right into the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we're going into the series of Holy Blood and Holy Grail, or Unholy Blood and Unholy Grail. We've got a major problem here in genetics, and Satan desired to sow his seed into the seed of the house of Israel. The house of Israel was the chosen seed. And everybody said, well, that's the Jews. Well, the Jews, if you take the Jews in a sense of speaking about the tribe of Judah, that's only one-twelfth of the equation, ladies and gentlemen. So where's the other 11 tribes? So we've got a distorted image of or belief system brought to you courtesy of the lying scribes and the false ministers that Satan has employed to muddy the water. You know, if he can keep you confused and deceived, well, he's done his job, because Satan is on his job, and he's doing his very best to deceive you, to kill you, and to destroy you. Tonight we're going to go into one of the greatest mystery of the scarlet thread, or the bloodlines that were woven into the garment. Just like Joseph's garments, it was a coat of many colors, and that symbolized the rainbow colors of the house of Israel. No, I'm not talking about genetic colors, because the color of Israel was white. They were blushing Israelites from the house of Adam. And they were the Caucasians who crossed the Caucasus Mountains. And in their journeys, they were dispersed throughout the earth. And reasons why that Yahweh had this done was another great mystery of how that he brought his children on the wings of eagles. And they were explorers, adventurers, they were warriors, and they were scholars and philosophers and things of this nature. They had a lot of great talent in the house of Israel. As they spread across the world to inhabit countries that were predestined for them. For instance, I'll give you an example, America, Jerusalem, USA. There is the New Jerusalem. This is the land that Yahweh meant for the sons of Jacob, particularly the house of Joseph. Joseph was the birthright son, and this is how that Yahweh has designed the plan to scatter the house of Israel, the whole 13 tribes, throughout the earth, in particular strategic places that they would control. Actually, they would have the ability, and were given the ability, to control the whole world. And yet we have an enemy that's crept in right through the blood, the holy blood of Jacob. It's infused itself, and a lot of people don't know the difference, so we're going to catch the devil at his game here. We're going into the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, as I said, and we're going to look at the first son, and that was of Jacob's strength, Reuben. The second was Simeon. The third was Levi. The fourth was Judah. Now we're going to look at Judah right here. And in the 12th verse of 46, and the sons of Judah, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Now these are the first three of Jacob's strength from the Canaanite woman. And this is a no-no, all three of these sons. Well, we know that Er and Onan were killed outright. Then Jacob, or Judah, hid Shelah, and he survived. So he is one of the 70 souls, all total, that went down to Egypt. 66 in Jacob's offspring, his sons and their offspring, and it's all listed right here in the 46th chapter. If you'd like to read it, you will find that there were two tribes that actually journeyed down to Egypt. They journeyed there with a Canaanite blood. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, it don't really matter about blood. This is not about blood, flesh and blood. It's about, are you saved? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got the wrong blood, you can't be saved. And that's why he said to avoid adultery. Adultery is adulterating the blood, mixing the blood. And we've been taught through the Christian church that adultery is going out and when you're married and going out and taking another woman and going to bed with her and committing adultery. That's not exactly what Yahweh had in mind, because we know in the case of polygamy that the Old Testament did not condemn the fact that they could have many wives as long as they were honorable, as long as they could do it justly. And there was a lot of honor in Israel in those days, and they took wives, even Jacob. He had several wives. And Abraham had several wives. And it's amazing the things that we don't pick out of the Bible, we don't practice, because now the world condemns it, because the Christian church has brought this is due to the Catholic Church, the error of the Catholic Church. They have taught our people that adultery is having more than one wife, or going out and being married to one woman, going out and being unfaithful and having children with another woman. That's adultery. To them, that's adultery. That wasn't what the word adultery was all about. Adultery was adulteration of the blood through a strange or a kind that wasn't after kind. That's what adultery is, adulterating the blood. And so people have misunderstood the reasons, like fornication. They say, well, that's sex between two unmarried people. And they're not married. But ladies and gentlemen, the laws of the land of Israel, if you knew a wife, if you knew a woman, she became your wife automatically. And by becoming your wife, you wouldn't be guilty of fornication. Fornication was going across the bloodlines again and marrying into a family other than the house of Israel. Yahweh wanted his children to marry within their own house. For instance, the sons of Jacob, let's say the sons of Reuben could go over to the sons of Issachar and take them wives or sons, vice versa, and that was legal. But Yahweh didn't frown of Noah. He had three sons, all of them white. And so he didn't frown on them going over to the Aryan brothers and getting them wives. That wasn't frowned upon, kind after kind again. The frowning and the disapproval of Yahweh was going after other kind or strange flesh, adultery and fornication. Esau was a fornicator. He loved these strange women. Now, he had several wives, but he was a fornicator, and the Bible calls him a fornicator. And that's exactly what he was. Now, let's look at verse 10. Here we have the house of Simeon, Simeon's sons. One of these is from a Canaanite connection. Verse 10 of Genesis 46. Look again real close here, and you'll see that it is due to the house of Simeon being with a Canaanite son. One of those sons was one of the 66 souls out of the family of Jacob, 70 in all, that went down. And so then he was one that was mixed. Now stop down again to Judah, number 4. That's verse 12, if you will look in your King James Bible. Verse 12 will tell you that Judah had a Canaanite son, and his name was Shelah. He also had Er and Onan, but remember, Yahweh killed them too. So they didn't get to go down. They were already dead. They were evil. Why would they be evil? Because they were not allowed to be in the bloodline. But they were anyway. And so Israel began to whore and commit fornication and adultery. This displeased Yahweh. But anyway, Jacob took these sons down to the land of Egypt, the 66 souls that he took down with him. He took them down, and there they were. They dwelt in the land of Egypt for over 400 years. Now, you can't tell me that those Canaanite sons didn't marry into the house of Israel and had children there. Now, if we go to the book of Deuteronomy, or the book of Exodus, chapter 12, we're going to read verse 38, and we're going to find that Israel was coming out of Egypt after they'd been down there for 400 years, and we find that there's a mixed multitude comes out with them. Israel came out. It identifies Israel. And then the prophet identified a mixed multitude. Now, this mixed multitude was manser. The word is, in the Bible, it's mixed. In other words, it was crossbred. These are the Canaanite sons and daughters that were born to Simeon's son and Judah's son. Two of these sons multiplied enough to have these crossbreeds in the house of Israel. Now, they ate with them, they slept with them, they intermarried with them, and so they sort of grew up in the house of Israel, and they were they began to be Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. They loved the chief seats. That's what the Bible says. And so now we find that this mixed multitude started murmuring, if you will. They caused the children of Israel to murmur. They weren't purebred. Israel wouldn't have murmured if they hadn't had someone, it's infectious. You put a rotten apple in a barrel and it'll spoil the whole barrel. So here we've got a murmuring mixed congregation as we look into the scriptures, and we find exactly what is spoken about here, as it says, and the children of Israel, verse 37, Exodus chapter 12, And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men and beside children. Now, besides the men, there were 600,000 soldiers, or men, able men, and beside the children, and of course the wives. So that was a pretty good congregation here after 400 years of marrying and living in the land of Goshen, and Yahweh blessed them. And he promised Jacob, he said, I'll bring you seed out. You just go on down there, I'll bring them out. But what he didn't tell Jacob was, and Jacob didn't understand here, that there was two implants into the bloodline that he was supposed to keep pure. These are the two sons that are found right here in verse 38. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, with flocks and herds and much cattle. Now, a mixed multitude. Ladies and gentlemen, this mixed multitude is what has been the thorn in the side of Israel from the very beginning. They grew up, like I say, they became lawyers and doctors and of the word and scribes and Pharisees by loving the chief seats. And that's how that the snake got into the house of Israel, through two Canaanite women who encouraged two sons of Jacob, the true blood, the covenant blood people. And so the holy grail of Jacob's progeny was corrupted with the blood of the snake. Now, you won't hear this anywhere, probably perhaps anywhere in the world. And if you're listening tonight, you're privileged to hear it, probably for the first time. And if you've heard it before, you're very fortunate. If you know these things, and I hope and trust that you are, and most of you that have studied with me over the years, you've heard this message many, many times in a different format, but we're here to establish the fact that the Holy Grail has some unholy blood in it. And Yahweh knew that. When he got to John 8:44, he knew that this mixed multitude that came out, that is revealed here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37 and 38. He knew that these were the sons and offspring of these mansers that got into the house of Israel through the lust and the desire of Judah and Simeon. And oh my, ladies and gentlemen, we have really had a problem. Now, we know that the northern house separated from the southern house over some of these issues that we're talking about, and it had to do with genetics. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, we're going to chapter 49, we're going to give you a prophecy here and show you just exactly where the bloodline would come from that would be accepted, and the bloodline that would be accepted that was rejected. Now, that's a strange statement for me to make, but it's true that the bloodline accepted was the bloodline rejected, and the bloodline rejected was the bloodline that was accepted. But that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination. Everybody believes that Judah, that Christ was a Jew, that he came out of the house of Judah, and that he was of the royal bloodline. He was not. He couldn't have come from Judah, because Judah had a corrupted bloodline. You say, well, but he rectified his bloodline through Phares and Zara, and through Tamar. I agree with that. However, they weren't the firstborn. Uh-huh. You see, the Shelah was the firstborn, and to him would have been the right given for the first strength of Jacob. Jacob's issue, or Judah's issue, would have been Sheba, because Aaron old man had died. Nobody will ever tell you that the covenant of Yahweh was to give the birthright, even to Esau. He got the birthright, but he sold it. Well, here Sheba is in line for the birthright from Jacob, from Judah, because he's the firstborn of Judah, so he was to inherit all that Judah had. Just like Joseph was a chosen son in the house of Jacob, and he got all that Jacob had because he was chosen. And we're going to show you how this came about as the 11th son, and we're going to reach here in the 49th chapter as we hurry through, because we could preach a month on this subject if we took our time and went from script like Arnold Murray. You know, I can't understand how he just sits and reads one verse after the other and then comments on the verse. I mean, it kills me. Preach doctrine. Get in there and find the scriptures that the Bible says here a little and there a little. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Get your understanding through a connection to the doctrine. Christ often quoted different scriptures to prove a doctrine. You just can't go through the Bible and read it verse by verse and chapter by chapter and think you're getting somewhere. Although you may be right in some of the things that you're saying. You just can't hook up a doctrine. And many of the righteous are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Let's go to the 10th verse here. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering be. Now, this was Judah. This was a prophecy that now, there are some translation errors in here. And I got a friend that is a Paleo-Hebrew expert, and he's now working on this very chapter and verse, and giving you some paleo insight into how that the scribes have really doctored this verse up a little bit, but I won't even get into that tonight. But notice this. The scepter, now remember, the birthright and the scepter were synonymous. It belonged to the same person, whoever this birthright person was. Well, everybody thinks that the Jews was the birthright people. They're not. And this is the catch 22 here. After everybody has been told for hundreds of years by the Christian church preachers that the Jews are God's chosen people, they just take for granted that everything that was in Israel was Jews, and it's not. That's a misnomer. It's wrong. It's foolish. If you really think about it, it's a lack of understanding. It's deceit. It's devastation. It's destruction. And that's the trick of a devil, to kill you, to steal you, or destroy you. With the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh come. Now, Shiloh was the Messiah. So then, we know here, according to the scriptures, that Judah's going to have a scepter. Well, how did he take it? Well, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, that Judah took it by ruling over his brethren. He took it by brute force. Now, how could he do that? Judah was always the prominent son in the clan. In other words, he was looked upon as big brother, but he never was looked on as big brother until he got rid of Joseph. Now, after the jealous sons of Jacob, because see, Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. He was his birthright son. He said, Joseph will get what I've got, just like he got what Isaac got. Just like Abraham give Isaac, Isaac give Jacob, and Jacob give Joseph. This is Shiloh. This is the birthright son. You see, it's going to depart. When the Messiah came, he revealed to us that the Jews, who claim to be God's chosen people, he said, no, you're not. You're the mixed breed, and you're sons of Satan. Oh, my. Man, that just blew them up. They got angry and upset and mad enough to kill him. Of course, we got to forgive them, right? Because they're God's chosen people. When donkeys fly. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something right here. If you can muster up, and if you can stand at attention long enough to understand what I'm trying to tell you here, let me show you something here. In the 24th verse, let's go over here to the 24th. Well, the 22nd starts Joseph's prophecy. This is Jacob giving the prophecy to the sons. We're going to deal with Judah and Joseph here because the house of Israel was under the Ephraim Joseph mantle, and the southern house, after they divided, was under the mantle of Judah. Here we are. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Now, by a well, what well? Well, you remember that Christ stood at Jacob's well? That was their home place. You know where that was at? It was at Bethel, in the land of Ephratah, where Micah screamed bloody murder, if you will, when they killed the Messiah, or when he was born. He was telling everybody that he was going to be born right there at that well, Jacob's well, at Bethel, in Ephratah, or in the land of the fruitful bough. That's exactly what the prophecy of Jacob said. And here, Joseph inherits the old home place where the well of Jacob upon the mountain at Mount Gerizim, right where Yahweh at Shiloh, where the first temple was erected and built, and Jerusalem was the city of the Canaanites. And the temple that was built by Herod was an Edomite Jew, meaning he was mixed. He wasn't true Judah. He was half and half. Just like the sons of Judah under Shelah, they were half Israel, or half Jew, and half Canaanite. Are you listening to me here, ladies and gentlemen? I hope you get this. I hope you see this. I don't know why you're having such problems with these revelations that is so obvious that it's just like a dot on the end of your nose. I mean, it's so plain that a fool, though a wayfaring man, wouldn't err when these revelations are taught to him. It'd be better for you not to know these things and to know it and not confess it or own up to it or start living it and start teaching it and start believing it and start living it. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him. Everybody hated Joseph. Well, everybody hated Christ. It's not written that nobody hated Judah. He was the preeminent one. We're going to show you that the Bible said he ruled over his brethren. He didn't have anything to rule. He didn't have the birthright. The scepter certainly didn't belong to him. You say, yeah, but Christ was a Jew, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. Well, we got $10,000 for you to prove that. You want to prove it? Well, just get on the horn and give me a call after the broadcast, and we'll see where your scripture's at for that. You know, I've been studying the scriptures a long time, and I haven't read it. I've been preaching on the radio for over 15 years and offering a $10,000 reward for anybody to prove that Christ would had one drop of Jewish blood in him. He didn't have none. He was out of the house of Joseph. He was related to Judah because Joseph and Judah were brothers. They had the same blood from Jacob in their veins. The only problem is that Judah corrupted his blood into an unholy grail. He placed his semen, his blood, the holy blood, ladies and gentlemen, the circumcised blood of Judah, holy as it was placed in an unholy womb. And so the sons of fire passed through, and out came air, a tragedy, a snake, a half Israelite and a half Canaanite, to be perfectly honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. This is as pure as I can make it. Yahweh knows that the time of trouble is upon this earth. Yahweh knows that if you don't get this message, you'll never make it through. My people, Hosea 4 and 6, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Judah brought forth three Canaanite bastards, sons of Baal, sons of Cain, with his holy blood adulterated into the woman. He produced three unholy bloodlines into the holy grail. Simeon was as guilty, but we're noting blood line Simeon. It don't say that Simeon had the scepter in his house. Judah would only keep it there until the Messiah come, and the Messiah would reveal the mystery of where it belonged. Everybody accepted the fact that the Jews were God's chosen people till Christ come. And he said, well, your father's the devil. And yet they admitted, or they confessed, and Yahweh admitted that they were Abraham's children. Now, how can that be? Well, Judah was Abraham's offspring. He placed his semen, his blood, if you will. Nothing. You see, when a man ejaculates the semen into a vagina, it's blood going in to the egg. See, the blood covers the egg, and the egg represents the ark. And out of that 9 months comes life or death. In this case, the first three sons that he produced were dead, deadly, deadly vipers, sons of Cain. Half Israelite, it made it worse. You take something that's not pure blood, you can tell it. A pure blood, pure thoroughbred, if you will. Sons of Yah are not to mix their blood. You're to keep yourself unspotted from this world. You're not to make any marriages with those of the other kind. Repeated, 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 and yet we got these Christian churches that, oh yeah, that God don't look at that now, honey. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said these things, these tragedies, happen to them for an example. And if you don't muster up, if you don't confess up, if you don't get your life straightened out, if you don't walk and talk the talk, you ain't going to have any life in you, ladies and gentlemen. You can be destroyed by sin. from among these heathen that are saying it's okay to mix their blood. Ladies and gentlemen, you better watch. The devil is full of deceit. The devil is full of corruption. And he come to kill. He come to steal. He come to destroy. And you know why? Because he's a liar. And because the truth is not in him. That's why. The devil is a liar and the truth is not in him. I'm going to repeat that. The devil is a liar. He tells you that he's God's chosen people and he's got enough of God in him to make you believe it. But there's enough of the defiled, corrupted venom of the snake in the blood of these who claim to be Jews and are not, but are out of the house of Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, I assure you one thing, that the devil and his angels are ruling through the authority of being God's chosen people. I'm going to repeat that now. And most Christians are giving their power unto the beast. This evil snake, this defiled bloodline, people are actually worshiping it, and they are some of the most vile and corrupt and evil people that walks the earth. They're the sons of Cain. Yet they're mixed with enough of the righteous blood of Israel, Jacob, to deceive people. And that's the heir of the wicked. That's why heir was called heir when he was born. That's why Yahweh killed him, because he was of the evil one. He had a genetic attachment to the blood of the snake. The unholy grail took a cup of unholy blood and poured it into the gene pool of Yahweh's children. And Yahweh's children, being dumb, being uncircumcised, being unholy, being unrighteous, could never straighten out the problem here and solve it until the last days, when Yahweh said, I will send you prophets in the last days to open up your eyes and your understanding, and you will know, although it's a fearful thing, to fall into the hands of the living mighty Yah. When these people hear this truth that Pastor Buddy brings, they can't believe their ears. I've had people come in and say, well, I never heard such a thing. Why haven't I heard this in church? It's because the church is not a church. The definition of the ecclesia are called out. People that wad up like snakes in a little den and have it their way. You know, most churches are reserved. Yeah, they got their own thing going. Although they said, well, we're saved and we've got this preacher here in the pulpit and this preacher. You go in there and it's just a bunch of tradition. You preach the truth. If I was to preach this message in any church in the United States tonight, it would be rejected flat out as heresy. And me reading right out of the Bible and offering money for anyone to prove that Christ was a Jew. Because they've been blindly told all of their life. Their fathers told them, their mothers told them, their grandparents told them, and so on and so on. And you tell a lie often enough and repeat it often enough, it becomes accepted truth. They cast the truth to the ground. They will not have the truth. They don't want the truth. The truth will not satisfy them. Only a lie. Tickle their ears. Give them something that they're used to or something that they want to hear, as opposed to get them in the Bible. This will put you in bed. This will put you in a fast mode. This will put you in a prayer mode. This will put you in a search mode. I've had people to take their Bibles and concordance and everything in the world and try to prove this wrong. And finally, reluctantly give them, say, well, I have to admit you're right. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is first ridiculed, rejected, and then at last it has to be accepted, because, you see, truth is going to wind up in the end to be the truth, and only a few there's going to be that find it. Don't get lonesome, because when you accept this truth, you're going to be an outcast. You're going to be rejected. You can't go to your local church and teach or preach. Most of them use a false name anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so, so bad. It is so, so bad this day and time when we have these problems here in our midst. Now let's go a little further. Let's go over to verse 24 of Genesis 49. But his bow, now we're talking about Joseph, he's the birthright son now, not Judah. Judah ain't the birthright son. I'll offer anybody $50,000 tonight around the world, if you're listening to me, $50,000 to give me one verse of scripture that says Judah is the birthright or the chosen seed. If you can read it, you call me right after the broadcast, and our next broadcast, which will be tomorrow night, I'll announce it and present you with a check. I'll have to borrow the money from some of my friends, but they got it. Don't worry about it. If you can read that, then I have read the Bible for 50 years, and I've been mistaken. It would be worth $50,000 to know where it says that Judah or the Jews are God's chosen people. And you say, well, Pastor Bay, you're just being facetious. You wouldn't really give it to me. Well, why don't you just come and sit down in front of me and look in my eyes and see if I'm serious or not? It wouldn't take you long to figure out that I don't play games. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm free. I've turned the page. I've done my fasting time. I've done my praying time. I've done my studying time. I've done my listening time. Most people are too busy talking to listen. I've been listening for a long time for the sound of a voice, a still small voice that will tell you things and get you truth, but it will cause you heartache. It will cause you sorrow. With truth comes sorrow. With truth comes separation from your family and your friends and from those who don't have the understanding that you have. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Talking about Joseph. But his hands, were made strong by the mighty God. That's Yahweh. Yahweh made Joseph's hands and arms strong that he could bear the burdens. He bare the whole other 11 sons' burdens upon his shoulders and was wide enough to carry their burdens. And even Jacob and his family, he carried their burdens and rescued them and became their Savior. And out of this house, ladies and gentlemen, out of this bloodline, out of this holy grail came forth the Messiah. There was nothing written about it, because the Pharisees and Jews saw to it that they would direct your attention away from the house of Joseph, and that you would concentrate on the Jews being God's chosen people. You see how crafty and deceitful they are? You see how they can draw you away and entice you with the lust and the greed of something that seems right, and you fit right into the world. Oh, man, they like to compass land and sea to make one parcel out, and when they make them two for the child of hell than they were to begin with. From hence is the shepherd. Right here is telling you that the shepherd, the Messiah, the true one, is coming out of the loins or the bloodline of Joseph, not Judah. Now, my question to you, if Sheila was the firstborn, to him would have been Jacob's or Judah's scepter. Would you want a Canaanite bloodline to carry your scepter? You think Christ would agree with that? I don't think so. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you better check the genealogy, because it ain't like you thought it was. It ain't like you've been told it was. Even when the scribes lied and said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, did you know at that time, history will tell you that the years before that there wasn't even a Bethlehem, Judah? But there was a Bethlehem Ephratah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 cries out, a son is going to be born beyond Jordan, up at Bethel in Ephratah. Now, tomorrow night we're going to go into the Ephratah lineage from the house of Ruth and the kinsman redeemer. Oh, man. The Holy Blood Grail is going to go into part 6 tomorrow night. And I've got news for you. We're going to prove and take it to the devil, and we're going to pour out his unholy blood. We're going to wash the chalice, and we're going to fill it with the righteous blood of Joseph, from whence the Messiah came, from whence the shepherd, the stone God of Israel, would come right out of the house of Joseph. Right here it says so. But you say, yeah, but I've always heard. Yeah, you've always heard a lie. You've always believed a lie. And most of you are going to continue believing it, because it doesn't matter what I say. You're going to continue believing your lie and what mama, you're going to keep on believing in Santa Claus. You know it's a lie, but you're going to keep on believing in it. You know it's a lie to bring, wrap your presents and bring them and get a tree and cut it down and set it up and decorate it. You know that's a lie. You know it's tradition. You know it's from Nimrod and Talmud and all the pagan gods of the past. You learn in the ways of Eden. You know it's a lie, but it seems so right. You just can't get away from it. Your wife would kick you out of the house. If you was to get up right now and go over, and you're probably up right now listening to me putting up a Christmas tree and decorating it and me teaching against you. But you're going to keep on doing it because you ain't man enough to take the tree out and burn it. Your wife would probably kick you out and divorce you. I know the children beat the hell out of you. But ladies and gentlemen, you better stand up on your feet. You're the man of the house. You better take charge, because you're responsible. And when Yahweh comes to your house, if the blood of the righteous Messiah is not there in your heart, you're going to get a death wish. But if he finds you eating, drinking with a drunken, and that's these drunk on the traditions of the world, full well you reject the commandments of Yahweh to keep you on tradition, you're going about, you're doing these things of tradition, you won't have the Bible. You wouldn't have the teaching of Joseph being out of the house of the Bethlehem son. You wouldn't have the truth of the Messiah being out of the house of Joseph. You ain't going to have that. You're going to go right on saying that the Jews are God's chosen people. You don't care what Pastor Buddy says. And I would be willing to debate any preacher in the land. We take the scriptures and we would take his Bible. I wouldn't even use my Bible. I'd use his and prove it right out of his Bible that he can't prove that the Jews are God's chosen people. But I can prove that the Messiah came out of the house of Joseph. Out of the house of Ephraim, and that the place where Joseph inherited was the same place that the Messiah was born. Ladies and gentlemen, the lying scribes of Matthew 2 told a big, big, big lie when they say he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. He wasn't born down there. He was born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, according to the prophet. Now, which one are you going to believe? You going to believe Yahweh's prophet Micah, or are you going to believe the lying scribes? Well, I'm going to believe them scribes. That's what the Bible said. Well, go right ahead. Go right ahead. You go ahead. I'll take Micah. I'll take the prophecy of Micah. He said he'd be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. You know what that's saying? Well, you got to tune in tomorrow night, and I'm going to tell you, geographically, physically, spiritually, and biblically, I'm going to tell you where the Messiah was born. Getting close to the time that people say that Christ was born, December the 25th. But we all know better, don't we? We all know better. But we keep on believing it. We keep on practicing because the world does it. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of sin, for her sins have reached up into heaven. Yet she shall be brought down to the lowest hell. You don't want to be cast in that river, ladies and gentlemen. You better make your election and call and share. You better walk the walk. You better talk the talk. You better get in the Word. You better study. You better pray. You better fast. Some people care more about their jobs than they do about their salvation. Some people care more about their wives than they do their salvation. Some people care about more about their automobile than they do their salvation. Some people care more about their television than they do salvation. Some people care more about their bank account. You'll find them over at the bank counting their money and in their rock boxes and check and see if they've still got their treasure. You keep on laying it up. You're going to lay it up for the last day one of these days, and you're going to reach for your silver and gold that ain't going to save you. If you ain't got the truth, you ain't going. If you ain't believed the truth, if you ain't repented, got baptized in this wonderful, beautiful name of Yahweh, it's the only way, it's the only name, it's the only game in town. And if you don't take it, leave it. If you don't like it, lump it. If you can't go to heaven, then you know where to go. And only a few there'll be that finds it. Only a few there be that'll get this truth. And ladies and gentlemen, this is worth giving up a car for. This is worth giving up a wife for. This is worth giving up a husband for. This is worth giving up children for. This is worth giving up a home for. This is worth giving up anything that you've got in your way to get this. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hang on to it at all cost. Because we're talking about something eternal versus something temporal. What if you gained the whole world and lost your soul? What would you give in exchange? You better measure up. You better come forth. You better get with the program. You better walk while it's walking time. You better talk while it's talking time. You better fess up while it's a fess up time. You better get right while it's getting right time. Well, I've seen my time is coming down. I love you tonight, and I appreciate you setting up with me. If you've got any questions about these scriptures, you could call me at area code 423-626-2172. You could write me if you'd like to send me a love offering. I appreciate it. I need your help and your tithes and your offerings. I'm just a poor, struggling street preacher. I don't have a building to preach in. I got a microphone here tonight preaching around the world by the love and the tithes and the offerings of a few good people that hold up the truth and hold up the name because they want to go to heaven. I want to go with them. I can't fail them. I've got to keep pressing and go up to the mountain, which this beautiful little lady is singing for us tonight. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark. I can see all around. out of the great state of Mississippi. He cared enough to send you this message, and I hope and trust that this message will be good enough to save you. If I'm not, I fail my job, because my authority and my commission is to preach the truth and be instant in season out and reprove and suffer and rebuke with all authority. I take the authority in the name of Yahweh to promise you salvation in His great name. And all these little mysteries that have been kept from you will be revealed to you. I've had people to tell me after they come out of the water what a marvelous change it was. Slowly they begin to see things different when you wash the sin out of your life and repent and get baptized in the name of Yahweh. You got a clear vision. Things will begin to look different for you. The old things you used to love, the old places you used to go, you won't go no more. I ain't welcome there, and you won't be either. You can't agree with them, and they certainly ain't going to agree with you. The light and darkness has no fellowship. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. Rebuke her. Preach her the truth. Yahweh will bless you. Hallelujah. Well, if you'd like to write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. Come in tonight, area code 423-626. I'm live on a Tuesday night, 2172. 626-2172. That's 423, area code 626-2172. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB 3.185 over simulcasting on live internet tonight also. And if you'd like to go to our website, that's oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. Oneyahweh.com. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world. And I love you. And may the blessings of Yahweh be with you. Sing it, sis.
Because you asked me to.